You're listening to Manufacturing Ignition Hot Topics, bringing you right up to date on the latest trends and discussions within UK manufacturing. Sponsored by Bonfire Recruitment, helping manufacturing leaders across the UK to attract the best talent for their manufacturing company. Ignite your business or career today by visiting www.bonfirerecruitment.com. Here's your hosts, Terry Mallin and Scott Buchanan.
This week's Manufacturing Ignition Hot Topic is problems with 3D printing. And this closely follows what we covered last week on episode 7, in which we discussed the benefits of 3D printing within your manufacturing company. So all we've kind of noticed in the news is there's all the positive aspects of 3D printing, how it can benefit your business. So what me and Scott have decided to tackle head on is, what problems is there with 3D printing? So this will be quite interesting, Scott.
As you know, it's been quite a week for both of us, in fairness. So I'd like to say I've been studying this late at night. But I think one of the things that seems to be pretty common with 3D printing is the same issue I've had with printing, which is related to, you know, I guess the cartridges that you would use, and I think it seems to be called the filament reel within 3D.
Yeah, it's like a plastic. I think it's like a fishing line. I think that's what it looks like from my understanding. I've got one in front of me actually, but it's boxed to go out to a supplier. But it looks like fishing line, I think, and you know you have to. It's the same as ink within your own printer.
So I guess that in there, that must be the technique, I guess, of making sure it's at the nozzle is too close to the print bed, and making sure that the nozzle is also open and the depth of it is correct as well. So that I guess where I thought, and maybe you want to speak to the people that we gave the 3D printers over to actually for the competition we did. Getting some feedback on how easy is it to work, because I would have assumed, you know, you buy one, you put in the relevant design coordinates, and away you go. But
I think it's a wee bit more it will be more difficult than that, and I've done a wee bit of research on it, because I was actually going to buy one myself, do you know that? But as I said last week, but I've not. But I will do. They're rather expensive. But yeah, I mean, looking at it, you hook it up to your PC, you put your design into the PC, and hit go, and that design's then made. Now, that brings on another problem, quite interestingly.
What's that?
The IP and licensing of products, right? So back in January, it was a 3D system acquired by a company called Gentle Giant Limited, right? Mm-hmm. And they own all the licensing rights to toy franchises like The Hobbit, The Walking Dead, Harry Potter, Alien and Star Wars, right? So you can imagine this time of year that actually what people are using it in a sort of black market is actually to replicate these, say, toy dolls and toy plastic figurines, and they can actually replicate that on a 3D printer and then sell it, obviously, as the genuine article, which it's not. So that can open up a whole new, you know, privacy situation with copyright, trademarks, legal complications, you know.
Think about, you know, what's happened in, you know, any logo that could be printed onto, I don't know, a T-shirt, a jumper, you know, any form of, you know, dodgy, you know, copy, I guess can be done now. So I guess now that you can do this in a 3D model situation, then anything. You know, you could literally create anything now. So
that's interesting. And another couple, Scott, that kind of stood out to me just when we were talking, because I was kind of thinking about this actually in the car on the way back from the vet. One, obviously, I think about how much heat these things would potentially, you know, if you've got a PC in the office, if you feel the PC, it's hot. You know, the amount of heat that these bits of kit would be exerting within a manufacturing environment, you know, so, and they would be taking a lot of energy, a lot of electricity but combining that, there's got to be some unhealthy air emissions as well that comes out. So, you know, you have to, you know, there's got to be a bit of research done into, you know, how the emissions affect the air and how that would be within a manufacturing environment for people working there.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things And I can only assume it's the same with 3D printing, whereby that, you know, I don't know how many generations worth of 3D printer we've gone through to get to, you know, the stage we're at. But I would assume, you know, there's an element of efficiency will naturally creep in with this as part of the redesign, you know, that will be going on. But whether or not that then leads to an inefficient in the actual, you know, whether companies can do that. But you had a valid point on a pro version of, you know, of 3D printing last week around, you know, you actually, you know, was it Ford was going to design that or did they do create models of that?
The casing, the mould.
So, you know, when you get that kind of scale and, you know, the actual efficiency of it, so you make a model, do you know, that way, which is takes whatever length of time it does to do that, versus all the energy of doing it the old-fashioned way, I guess, the efficiency is still probably greater using 3D printing than it would have been without it.
Yeah, and I think what I'm probably more getting to is, you know, if we're having the, you know, looking at investing in big bits of kit with these 3D printers for our manufacturing companies is, on the basis of actually all the health and safety is covered round about it, whether that be emissions, heat off it, because I'm guessing, you know, if it's hot enough, you'd have to have some sort of guards, you know, and then that brings in, you know, if these things break down as well, you've got to have the right type of engineers on site who can work with these bits of kit, which I'm guessing, you know, it's not rocket science, but literally if these bits of kit are connected as well through the cloud of things, then actually, you know, you need to make sure that everything's done in the right way and these things can be maintained and fixed if they break down as well. More than just spanners and, you know, this is, then you're talking about more network issues and connectivity problems. So it's going to require a different set of skill set and people to join businesses as well. So it's going to be another investment on top of the printer.
Yeah, and I don't know how desirable a 3D printing, you know, engineer, you know, job versus, I don't know, you know, the other modern, you know, cloud-based roles that are kicking about now, you know, how viable it will be, you know, and how long you're going to have to wait for your 3D printer to get fixed.
Even installed and commissioned, you know, and getting up to speed and running, going through tests and trials. Here's an interesting one. I'm going to throw in a curveball, right? Because we've been talking about sort of making plastics and metal and whatever else.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a possibility of 3D printed drugs to be made, right? Right. So a researcher, well, the whole purpose of it would be, right, so there was a researcher at the University of Glasgow. They created a prototype of a 3D computer. That's what they call it, right? A computer. I'm guessing chemical computer or whatever. But that makes drugs and medicines. Now, the purpose of it is actually to allow patients to print their own medicines with a chemical blueprint that they get from the pharmacy. So you go to your doctor, you get this prescription, you can then print your own. But right, okay, so we're talking about the problems with 3D printing here. Now, the funny thing is, and of course this is a very long way off, right?
Mm-hmm.
But actually, people who have been watching the likes of like your Breaking Bad, etc., making homemade drugs, like class A drugs, you know, so actually it could enable DIY chemists like that to create their own class A drugs to sell, you know, like whatever that might be, you know. So
and maybe design their new drugs as well. Do you know what I mean? They could actually, I don't know if you've ever followed, you know, made a cake or made a recipe. Do you know that way you decide to, do you know what, I'll throw some of, you know, whatever it is in. Aye, that's going to, oh my goodness, that's ending.
Yeah, so that's something completely different. So there's a lot of different aspects. Have you noticed any, Scott? Have you seen anything?
Just before we move on, isn't that what we would call then more like a food mixer? Do you know that? What's the difference between a 3D printer there than a, you know, than actually chemical mixing of?
Well, that's a good point because we're kind of thinking, when I think of 3D printing, I think of exactly what I just said there about the CW plastic models that you would buy. So like a Star Wars character, Luke Skywalker, you can make that in your house. Yeah. Theresa May, John Major, whoever you want, right? You can make them in your house. Oh, you've thrown me off tangent here. Right? So anyway, but actually the funny thing is, imagine you could make your own dinner Sunday roast. Come on, now, out of 3D printer.
Aye, now. But then, how disappointed, and maybe this is the point, right? One of the things, you touched on Star Wars there, one of the things, when I was a kid, I remember looking at Star Wars thinking, do you mean, I don't even know what one it is, whether it's Return of the Jedi or another one, where they end up in the smelly pit on the spaceship. I don't even know what the spaceship's called, but they find themselves in a really smelly place and they're all rubbing their noses and so on. And I thought, and this must have been 30 years ago, easily, I'm going, oh, wouldn't it be great to, I don't know, you hit a button on the telly and you could actually smell, you know, what the television folk are smelling at the same time. So
Yeah. I think people have tried to do that, though. I remember, Scott, what they were trying to do was they had some sort of, say, like some sort of smoke machine at the back of your telly. And they would do is...
created the ambience of wherever they were, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's quite it. But then that's taking things to another new level. Have you noticed anything else in the 3D printing that could be possibly a problem?
One of the things I was, and this is probably my Scottishness coming out again, whereby, what about the price of them, Terry? I mean, they're not exactly, you can't really pick them up that easily. Well, actually, cost of printer versus quality of, you know, what's the hassle factor worth? Do you know that way? And the other question...
But I think...
Is actually, if you go and buy yourself a brilliant, you know, a top of the range almost, you know, HP printer or, you know, Canon printer now, just a normal, typical printer, but actually the cost isn't the printer. It's the cost of the ink is what mm-hmm. than actually the cost of the product. So how much does it cost to run these things versus... And I googled, I was on Tech Radar Pro. This time I've done the 10 best 3D printers of 2017. And the price
okay. is
between, you know, kind of £3,000 and a tenner, it would appear.
So £10 for a 3D printer?
£10 for a Cube Pro Trio, which is the best. There you go. You can get a Cube Pro Trio, best for three colour, three material printing at an incredible price.
What can you make on it? Blue tack or something?
You can make
a paper clip.
the bulk, it's a valid point. You know, it's an ideal solution for modelers and engineers who need to create 3D prints with moving parts.
I'm looking for a chocolate block. Put it in there. I need to stick some wires together.
What about if you went and get yourself a Lizbot Taz 6? You know, very fast printing, wide support for materials, but, you know, minuses, it's expensive, £2,100, right? Or, and it's also not the most reliable. So, what chance have you got? You go and spend your £2,000 let's print the supersized Theresa May and it doesn't work.
Yeah, I'm just having a wee look. I mean, have you done any research into the costs for manufacturing companies, Scott? They're buying a big industrial printer.
The one I saw last week, you know, it was serious money, wasn't it? Was it 10? It was like £30,000 or something. I saw one.
And add on another zero on that as well. There's one that I'm looking at the minute. So £3,478, complete package, your 3D printer. It looks all right, you know, but literally what the kind of image they've got is making a basketball hoop, which, you know, for £3,500, I could probably go to Argos, buy a basketball hoop for £20, and everybody's happy. I've still got the same end result.
You're missing the point of that, though, Terry. You don't get the fun out of making the basketball hoop, you know what I mean? That's just...
So the filament, how much is the filament, Scott?
No idea. Genuinely don't know.
I'm having a wee look. I've just googled it. So
to see, yeah.
But I mean, this is guys. What we're talking about is home use, right? Commercial home use that me, you can buy, and it is like fishing line. That's what it looks like. So what it'll do, it'll feed into the 3D printer. And I'm guessing that'll heat it up, melt it, and then it'll work its way into whatever model or whatever you want to make. But looking at this, so for 1.75 metres of this, so this is a 1 kilogram wood filament, which is a natural wood colour, is £20, £16.81. That's half price.
Doesn't sound
too shabby. Yeah, but then probably the question, Scott, would be how much does 1.75 metres, what does that actually make? Does it make a paperclip or does it make you a George Foreman, you know? What's the sort of, you know, how much do you need to put in? But, you know, eBay's got quite a lot on it. I mean, even Currys is selling it. Currys, click and collect.
It's become so common now. Almost, you know, it was you that was talking about this a few weeks ago, and I'm amazed. I always thought it was, you know, it would be maybe the universities that would be using this kind of technology, or I used to play rugby with a guy who, that's what he did, actually. He's probably, I wonder, I'll need to catch up with him, because he was actually a model maker. So his job was actually to work with companies to create, you know, hand models of what their products were. So I wonder how he's getting on, because this job that, you know, this product will kill that, I would have thought.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I'm literally, Currys have got advertised a Polaroid Play 3D pen, right? And you can buy this pen, and I mean, it shows you some ridiculous graphics of what you can build out of it for £20. I'd be surprised. It's like a house, and also some sort of, you know, why those big wheels you go into the shows, Scott, and Alton Towers, and you've got the big wheel, right? London Eye, right? It's basically got an image of the London Eye in miniature scale. I mean, for £20, I don't think you'll be able to build the London Eye, but, you know, for £20, it'd be a good wee stocking filler for Christmas. So that's in Currys. Interesting. Anyway, I digress.
I'm just to kind of back up your point there, I've just typed in Google 3D printing costs, and it's given me a price, cost per cubic inch, all right? And the actual cost of 3D printing is directly proportional to the amount of raft and support required for each pound or kilogram you want to print. The average cost will be in the order of 0.2 to 0.8 dollars per cubic centimeter. So it's about 1.3, it's about a pound per cubic inch is the cost of what it will cost to make something. So that doesn't seem silly, does it? You know what?
But then I'm guessing it's the density of the product that you're trying to make as well. So you know, you could be making metal, you could be making, you know, so anyway. But interesting, at least it gives us a benchmark. So I think wrapping the 3D printing up, Scott, with regards to the problems, you know, we went through a bit of food for thought there. I think some good topics actually we were discussing at the end. So, you know, the key things to kind of recap are the licensing, the copyright and trademark of products, and how those can be copied quite easily, potentially.
There must be an argument against who, you know, so is it the seller, you know, that actually copyrights against, or is it actually the owner of the 3D printer that's created the fake?
It'll be the owner of the 3D printer that's created the fake, I would guess. But anyway.
No, but I'm just thinking, if you say, for example, you went and bought, you know, the £3,000 one, or a decent 3D printer, and you fire in the coordinates, and then you come out with something that you know, it's a copy or something.
It's a bit crazy anyway, Scott, because on the basis of kids are getting 3D printers for Christmas, they want to print off Bella or whatever she's called for Frozen, they want to print off whoever, you know what I mean? And actually, you know, so that's quite a key one. Also, the potential heat and the energy that these type of machines would consume, and the possible, you know, air emissions that would come off it as well. And the actual ability to actually outwith sort of plastic, metal, you know, you can potentially print drugs, which could open up a whole new can of worms as well. So there's a lot of, you know, a lot of positives with 3D printing, and there's also a lot of points to be aware of. And hopefully we've went through, I mean, guys, as I said to you, I was running late today, and I'm kind of, you know, I'm doing this off cuff, and I've left Scott to kind of pull up all the brief that we will tend to go through, and it's typically our briefs tend to be 4 or 5 pages of notes, and we'll chat through it. Scott's did a brief today, 78 pages, and I had 5 minutes to read over it. 78 pages, and up and 75 of them were on 3D printing. So if anybody wants any information, contact Scott at scott@bonfirerecruitment.com.
Yeah, there's plenty of technical jargon that you said 2 minutes before we started that we probably don't want to go down at that level of detail. So, yeah, anyone needs some tech detail, we've got it here.
Okay, so I think that closes off the hot topic this week on the problems with 3D printing.
Thanks for listening to the Manufacturing Ignition podcast. If you've made it this far, we take it that you enjoyed the show. In return, we'd love it if you'd leave us a rating and review on iTunes. Subscribe while you're there, and we'll catch you for the next episode.